I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Walk down that lonesome road all by yourself. Don't turn your head back over your shoulder and only stop to rest yourself when the silver moon is shining high above the trees. If I had stopped to listen once or twice,
yes, my friend, how many times have you had that thought? If only I would have closed my mouth and opened my eyes. I have felt that way too often. Thank you, Voice of Praise. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. On today's program, the topic for discussion is the tongue. Now, you and I know the tongue can be a powerful force for good, but it can also bring much destruction. You and I have the choice as to whether or not our words are positive or negative. So I hope you'll stay with me as we look into God's Word. Let's learn together how God wants our faith to impact not just our works, but our words too.
Jesus gave us some idea of how important our words are. In Matthew 12, 36 and 37, he said, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Now, if you're an average person, you spend 1/5 of your life talking. That's a lot of words, but that's what the statistics tell us. If all your words were put into print, a single day's words would fill a 50-page book. In a year's time, your words would fill 132 books, and each book would be 200 pages long. Now, don't you think that among all those words, there are bound to be some spoken in haste or in anger or carelessness? I know that's true of my words. You've probably heard someone say to another person, "Hey, watch your mouth." Sometimes it's said jokingly because you're teasing someone about their age or their gray hair or maybe something funny that happened to them. But I've also heard it used in a situation where ungodly men were using coarse or vulgar language, and a woman or children came on the scene. Someone would quickly give the warning, "Watch your mouth." They didn't want to expose women and children to their coarse language. Unfortunately, many men today no longer care about who hears their crude speech. Now, I hope you don't use those kinds of words. But even if you don't, our text for today gives a warning to us as followers of Christ. That's proof there are things we can say that are at the least inappropriate, and at the worst, downright destructive. If we could sum up the instruction James gives us in this passage, it would be, "Watch your mouth." Now, if it's convenient for you, you can take your Bible and turn to James chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 1 through 6. That's James chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Looking at our text, we discover several kinds of words that will help us heed James' counsel to watch your mouth. The first kind of words are words of wisdom. James introduces words of wisdom with an interesting statement. He says, "Don't be quick to desire the position of a teacher. Remember that those who teach will be held to a higher standard of judgment." What is he getting at? Well, let's think about it for a moment together. Jesus himself warned his disciples, "Be not called rabbi or teacher, for one is your master, even Christ, and you are all brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Those words of Jesus give us a clue as to what James has in mind. A teacher is in a position of giving information, and much of that information is given by talking. So a teacher, by virtue of his or her position, is likely to speak more than persons who do not teach, more than 50 pages per day. And Proverbs 10, verse 19 reminds us that, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he who refrains his lips is wise." The English Standard Version puts it this way, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." In other words, the more we talk, the more likely it is we'll say something we shouldn't. I'm well aware that the position of influence God has given me gives me a greater responsibility before Him. I will be held to a higher standard because this platform I have, by way of the radio, is capable of influencing so many people. The opportunity to teach God's Word is a wonderful privilege, but you know, friend, it's also a tremendous responsibility. I appreciate you who send your comments and your questions to hold me accountable for speaking the truth accurately and also with compassion. In verse 2, James reminds us that we are all prone to error, especially in the things we say. With that thought fresh in the minds of his readers, he gives them his divinely inspired words of wisdom. He states that a Christian who is able to avoid sinning by carefully regulating his speech should be considered a perfect man, a mature believer. Not sinless, but thoroughly committed to honoring God in all his words and all his actions. A man like Job, whom the Bible says was a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil. James tells us the person who is able to control their speech will also have the ability to control other desires of his or her body. That's a powerful statement. If you are so controlled by the Spirit of God that you can refrain from sinning with your words, you are also capable by the Spirit's power to keep your other desires in check. You know, I'm afraid 21st century Christians don't realize the connection between physical desires and spiritual disciplines. We think we can gratify one desire to excess without affecting other areas of desire. But James says no, they're all connected, and that the ability to control our speech stands at the top, or at least near the top, of the list. Several times recently, when I was in conversation with someone, I was tempted to say something negative about another person, and I got this check in my spirit. J. Mark, you don't need to say that. When I sense that, I know it's from the Lord. Now, what I was thinking was true, but whether or not it's true is not the only criteria for deciding whether or not to speak. My comments would not benefit the person I was talking to or the one I was tempted to talk about. Speaking the truth with the desire to hurt someone is still wrong. James says, if I learn to obey God when he puts that check on my words, I'll be more likely to obey that check in my spirit in other areas of desire. Paul reminds us in Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You show me a person whose words are gracious and kind, and I'll show you a person truly qualified to teach others. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. A goad is a sharp-pointed stick that was used to prod oxen to do their work. It's a source of motivation. Wise words, spoken with grace, motivate change in our lives. How often have you heard a message or someone sharing a testimony and something they said just really pricked your conscience? It's like, ouch, that really drew blood. It provoked you to take action. Then Solomon says, wise words are like nails used by a builder to fasten things together. They are placed in the proper way to secure the pieces together, to provide a framework for the building. Wise words are like those nails. They join the truth to our hearts and give us a framework on which to build our lives. The truth James presents in these verses is part of that framework of truth. His words of wisdom should provoke us to action. So watch your mouth, especially as you observe the connection between controlling your speech and controlling your other desires. The second kind of words are words of warning. In verses 3 through 5, James reminds us of the possibility of misusing our tongues. If we simply compare the size of our tongue with other members of our body, it doesn't seem like it could be all that dangerous. James must have realized that those who read his letter might come to that same conclusion. And I believe that's why he gave us the illustrations in verses 3 and 4. Think about a horse, a big, strong animal. He's capable of doing a lot of things with his strength. And unless he's already been trained to respond to voice commands, you're going to need some way of controlling all that energy and all that power. Then think about the bit that is put into the horse's mouth. That little piece of metal isn't very big in comparison to the body of the horse, but it sends a message to him about who is in control. And then there are the ships. The ships of James' day would be quite small by today's standards. For example, the Exxon Valdez that ran aground in Prince William Sound off the coast of Alaska some years ago was considered to be a mid-sized tanker. It was 967 feet long. That's longer than three football fields placed end to end. And it was 166 feet wide, 55 yards, more than half a football field in width. It weighed 30,000 tons when it was empty, and it could carry just under 1.5 million barrels of oil. Now, I couldn't find out exactly what the size of the rudder was on a ship this size, but obviously it is small compared to the size of the ship itself. Yet it's the rudder, controlled by the pilot or helmsman, that steers the ship. The captain of the Exxon Valdez could control that huge ship by means of that rudder. But he evidently failed to do so. The ship ran aground and spilled part of its cargo, and he was later convicted of negligence. It's hard to miss the analogy here. Just like that captain failed to control the ship by the rudder, we too can lose control of our lives by allowing our tongue to take its own course. That's what James says in verse 5. If you think about human anatomy, our tongue is small compared to other parts of our body, yet it is likely to be boastful and arrogant. The word boastful literally means to talk big. According to Adam Clark, he sees here a reference to the Greek orators, those who could control the emotions and the actions of a mob just by the power of their words. These are symptoms of a prideful heart, and we can be sure they will eventually cause us trouble. Our words set in motion a course of action that can be very destructive. Verse 5 closes with the warning. Take note, this least member of the body can set a large forest on fire. Just like it only takes a careless spark to start a huge forest fire, so it only takes a careless word to start a huge blaze of controversy and destruction in our human relationships. If we're going to be successful in having a faith that works, we must take these words of warning to heart. Watch your mouth. The final kind of words are words of wickedness. In this final verse of our text, James uses the literary device of metaphor. He says, the tongue is a fire. He doesn't say the tongue is like a fire, but the tongue is a fire. This is the comparison of two seemingly unrelated subjects, and it brings out some powerful analogies. We don't have time to do this now, but I urge you to meditate on it later. Think about fire. Think about all its benefits, but then also all of its dangers. And then transfer those ideas to the tongue and think about its impact, both positive and negative, on our human relationships. Our text further tells us that the tongue is a world of iniquity. What does that mean? The word world or cosmos means an orderly arrangement, a system. So the tongue has a design of its own, and that design is to promote iniquity. What is iniquity? Well, rather than give you a dictionary definition, let's look at how Jesus used this word. I'm quoting now from Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. That's Matthew 7:21-23. Based on Jesus' words, what was the iniquity? It was doing good works with the wrong motivation. I must admit, some of the things I've said and done in my lifetime that looked good to other people would qualify as iniquity. I was guilty of saying and doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Only words and works of genuine faith, springing from godly motives, will be rewarded. Good words or works done for selfish reasons will be burned up. You know, the tongue is so powerful among the members of our body that it has the potential to affect our character, our reputation, our entire being. When we were children, we learned the rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." We know now that's not true. Words do hurt, and they hurt deeply. Harsh and bitter words are like a poison that goes to the very core of our being. One careless word, like a strike of lightning, can reveal what is really in our hearts. And that strike can create a fire that is tremendously destructive. James says our tongues ignite a blaze that sets on fire the course of nature. Now, this phrase is not an easy one to interpret or understand. Perhaps a more literal rendering would be, it sets on fire the wheel of life. Adam Clark suggests This may be an allusion to our circulatory system. Here's what he says, and I'm quoting, "Is it not possible that James may have the circulation of the blood in view? Angry or irritating language has an astonishing influence on the circulation of the blood. The heart beats high and frequent. The blood is hurried through the arteries to the veins, through the veins to the heart, and through the heart to the arteries again, and so on. An extraordinary degree of heat is at the same time engendered. The eyes become more prominent in their sockets, the capillary vessels suffused with blood, the face flushed, and in short, the whole wheel of nature is set on fire of hell. No description can be more natural than this." That's a quote from Adam Clark. Well, I'm sure we've all experienced what he's talking about. Now James closes by saying, "The tongue is ignited by the fires of hell itself." In this, James probably refers to Gehenna, or the Valley of Hinnom, outside Jerusalem, that was a smoldering garbage dump. In the Bible, it's used metaphorically of the place or state of eternal punishment. It is the smoldering evil that resides in the heart of every human being that is the source of this wickedness. Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." As we consider the instruction James gives us, let's take to heart these words of wisdom. Control your tongue. Let's heed his words of warning. A careless word can start a raging fire. Let's realize the source of wicked words, that smoldering evil that lies within our hearts. Let's pray with the psalmist. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not mine heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity." My friend, make it your goal, by God's grace and the enabling of the Holy Spirit, to watch your mouth.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word through the Apostle James. Lord, we confess the tremendous difficulty we have in controlling our speech, and we thank you for showing us how important our words are. Thank you for your faithful Holy Spirit who works in our lives to conform us to the image of Christ. Help us to cooperate with him in the process. Now, Father, bless your word to my heart and to the heart of my listening friend. May our words mirror the faith that is in our hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friend, I hope and pray you were encouraged by our time together in the Word. If so, we'd like to hear from you. The easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. You can also call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and listen to today's teaching at your convenience. Remember, the teaching is titled, Watch Your Mouth. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit the website heraldsofhope.org to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also listen to our archived programming when you visit the website. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you again next week. Lord willing, we'll be together to study God's Word. And until we meet again,
blessed be the name of Jesus, our Redeemer dear above, who is making home so happy with the blessing of His love. Blessed be the name
of Jesus,
blessed be the name
forever,
for He blesses o'er and o'er.
Forever
blessed be the name of Jesus, we will love Him evermore. He is ever watching o'er us, guiding us along the way, and so lovingly is sharing all the burdens of the day. Blessed be the name
of Jesus,
blessed be the name
forever,
for He blesses o'er and o'er.
Forever
blessed be the name of Jesus, we will love Him evermore. He will guide us all to glory if we lean upon His grace. Let us live with Him forever in the sunlight of His face.